Thank you, Bob. And I would appreciate your prayers this morning. First thing I'm going to do is take off my coat, huh? If you don't mind. I appreciated the prayers that Bob had on my behalf at the start of the service. In that, I have a message this morning that I believe is from God, and I hope and pray that I not offend anybody, number one. Number two, that I will be able to express what I believe the Lord has put on my heart. And I feel very inadequate in that I don't know if I can, in fact, express it. So I would appreciate your prayers. I'd like to start this morning by opening up to the 55th chapter of Isaiah. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 3 and then 6 through 9. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Sixth verse says, seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him, while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We are told in that few scriptures there that I wrote several things that are action items for us. We're supposed to hearken diligently unto the Lord, to seek him, to submit ourselves to him, to incline our ear and pay attention to what he's saying. To seek him. To forsake the ways that we're headed. To return unto him. Today that I'd like to talk about some of the action things and some of these things that we're admonished to do. And I hope that we'll sit here and think about where we're headed, each of us individually in our lives. What is our desire, and are we obtaining them? What commitment have we made to God? And are we living up to it? And are we standing on the truth the Lord has put before us as a foundation for us? Those things that we know to be true. Those things that we've heard and read and had an understanding throughout the years. Are we standing on them? Are we using them? You know, I'd We had a camp for all ages here, I guess it was last week, right? That a lot of us attended. And at the sacrament service, Brother Glenn Gill asked us to stand if we could and to bear a testimony of, that we had concerning our baptism. And there were some beautiful testimonies. There were a lot of people in this room that were there, but I walked away and wondered about all the testimonies and their, you know, just I just like to name some of the beautiful the people that gave beautiful testimonies. And it was Neva and Diane Brockman, Don Hitt, Ron and Harvey and Joel, and I'm just naming a few of the beautiful testimonies of the truthfulness of the gospel and what had led them to make that decision in their life to make the covenant with their Heavenly Father. I was one of those that bore a testimony. And my testimony was, unfortunately, that I procrastinated for 17 years. That I hadn't been raised in the church, and that I had met my wife while in college. Her family was members of the church, and I attended with her. And about the last thing I cared about at that stage in my life was going to church. And I commented that, you know, one time I went out to Phoenix and said, boy, I never thought I'd drive 1,200 miles to go to church. But the part that hit me is the realization that I had wasted 17 years. And I hope and pray that there are none of us here today that are going to do that. And that's one of the things I'd like to talk about today, is the need for us to make our commitment. I just counted roughly, I'd say there's 20, 25 people here in this congregation that haven't done that yet. Some of them, a good portion of them, have attended here since birth, maybe, or regularly. And the message today is really for you, because I don't want you to do the same thing that I did. So I want you to take heed of the things that we're talking about and pay particular attention. And you know who I'm talking to, right down in here, each of you. And this is for you. You know, I started to, while I was preparing, I couldn't but help start categorizing people. You aren't supposed to do that. Okay. But I did. And there's a group that I'm talking to, and I'm not only talking to those that haven't been baptized. I'm talking to all of us. I'm talking particularly the ones that haven't been baptized. But the ones of us that have an added responsibility. Because we've gone down into the waters of baptism. We have made our commitment. We have made the choice. So I'm talking to everybody in what our responsibility is, and where are we headed, and what are we going to do. At any rate, this first group that I have in my mind are those of the young children that are getting to the age of accountability. And I'm going to not put any age limit on it, but you know about what I mean. Up to the age of 12 or so, that aren't sure. They've been taught in the Sunday schools. They've been taught at home. They've done a reading of the scriptures. They aren't quite sure. And I ask each of you, and you know who you are, that you might start praying about that, that the Lord will direct you. That you might have an understanding of some of the scriptures as you read them. But you might talk to your parents or your pastor or some of the ministry about that. And where you're headed and what direction you're going to go. And study. And pray. And pray. And get ready to make that commitment in your life. Then there's a group from 12 years old to 17 or 18. And that group starts out with those that are still unsure. They're getting up into junior high or middle school. You're getting at the age where you're starting to draw a line of what's cool and what's not cool. You're unsure, and you need to pray about it. You need to decide which direction you're headed. It doesn't mean that I'm talking about something that's easy. I'm talking about something that's going to put a lot of peer pressure against you at school, in your neighborhood. But you might not be able to run around and do all the things that the other kids do. But you have to make a choice. You know, and part of this age group is that age is, hey, I can do my own thing. Nobody can force me to be baptized. My parents want me to be. My grandparents want me to be, but boy, you know, I don't really have to do it. I might have to come in at night. I might have to wash the dishes. I might have to do a lot of things, but that's something for me. But let me tell you, that's not God that's working with you. That's the spirit of the devil. And he's enticing you to follow him down the path that leads to eternal destruction. So if you find yourself thinking that, just remember who's leading you. And call on those things that you know better of. You've been taught. You've been instructed. You've had experiences in your life right here in this room or elsewhere. Stand on those truths. That's what the Lord has instructed us to do. Then there's another group that runs from 18 to 25 to 30, I don't know. I'm not trying to put any age limit on. Growing up, gotten yourself a job, maybe started a family, married. And you like the things of this world. You don't have time. You're caught up. The big cars and the fancy things and the nightlife. And you don't have any sense of direction. But you know right here where you belong. And I'm calling on you today to remember those things that you're taught. And yeah, you know, in some case you don't think you're good enough. You don't know enough. But the Lord will provide the way. He'll touch your heart. He'll direct you and He'll encourage you. Because He's promised that to us. And I believe that with all my heart. Then there's a group like I fell in that group, by the way. I was 19 years old, I think, when I first attended church. And they didn't know what they were talking about. And I hope that doesn't happen to any of you. Then you're at an age that you've been around for a while, and maybe you married into the church and your spouse is a member. And you've gone, and boy, you know, you started fighting that when you started dating. You find that it's very hard to go back on some of the things that you've said or done. And you don't want to be a hypocrite. Because you know of all the things that you did that were wrong when you were younger. You know, but the Lord doesn't say that we have to think about those things. He tells us to come to Him and repent of the things that we've done. And what? He'll forgive us. we can stand before Him pure as the snow. So we shouldn't let ourselves get caught up with those thoughts. And if you find yourself in that age group and that thing, stand on the truth that you know. And that was my testimony. One day I finally woke up 17 years later. And I said, Brickhouse, where are you headed? There's things that you know to be true. You can't deny them. What are you going to do? And you have to take a stance. Does that mean I've never done anything wrong? You know better than that, all of you. Well, I'm glad I finally took that step. And I'd encourage any of you, and all of you, now's the time. You know who you are. Then there's a lot of us in this next group, and I know I'm not supposed to categorize people. I'm not really. I'm just, there are those of us that have accepted the truth and gone down into the waters of baptism, and we're here today, which is good. But are we really committed? Are we really doing everything that the Lord has directed us to do and admonished us that we know to be true? Or are we coming here because we know it's expected? Are we coming because it's a good example for our children, our grandchildren, our wife or husband or whoever? Because when it gets right down, it's got to be us individually. And we're all responsible for our actions. I'd like to turn to a song. Because as we go through life, we draw lines. We're going to say, we're either going to be on this side, the right side, or the wrong side of that line. We're doing it daily in our lives. And what I want us to reflect on is, have we counted the cost? And I'd like to turn to that song on page 267. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord. Where the call of His Spirit is lost. And I hope and pray that doesn't happen to any of us, that we draw a line, one that we can't go back from, and lose that Spirit that guides and directs us. And you hurry along with pleasure and throng. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? You know, we have a particular responsibility, because we know about the truths. We know about the things that they're talking about here that have counted the cost and some of those costs. And I'm just going to switch over, and you don't even have to go over there, but in Deuteronomy, it talks about all the blessings of obedience. And then it goes into all the things that's going to happen if you don't follow the Lord. And we're going to be cursed in our fields, our jobs, our homes, in all things. But He's promised us that if we follow after Him, we'll be blessed in all those things. Over in Luke, 8th chapter, now I venture to say that everybody in the sound of my voice has studied and heard the gospel of Christ. So, we're talking in Luke here is that the parable of the sower. And so these words in that gospel has been sown to us. The seeds have been let out, and we have a responsibility of what we're going to do with that. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And over in the 12th verse, it says, or 11th verse, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Remember that. When there's something there enticing you to do wrong, to follow after others, to follow after your peers and engage in the things of the world. What is that? That's the devil. And they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And where are we? Do we happen to fall into that group? That have heard the word, but in time and gladly receive it. But when our trials and tribulations and a little difficulty comes, do we turn away from it or fall away? Well, we should be doing the exact opposite and standing on the truths that we know and understand are true. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Boy, if that isn't talking about the rat race we live in our everyday life, what is it? Choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And we can't let it choke us up. We absolutely cannot. And that takes action on our part. If we don't actively pursue our Heavenly Father and His direction, we're going to be choked out. We cannot be neutral. We cannot be lukewarm. We have to take a stand and know where we're going. Each and every one of us. If you're a teenager, or if you're 8 years old, or 80, or whatever you are, you have to take a stance. But that on a good ground are they which in honest and good heart, having heard the word, do what? They keep it. They practice it. They make it a part of their life and bring forth fruit with patience. I'm going to skip down to the 18th verse, and it says, take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Be careful how you hear. And that's what I was referring to before, that there's a lot of us that have stood here or sat here from birth or from wherever and have heard. And we're responsible for what we hear. And now that you're all here, you're all responsible for what you hear. Be careful how you hear. Because you have the responsibility of doing something with it. I'm going to go back to that song in the second verse. You may barter your hope with eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most. For the glitter of sin and the things it will win, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Yeah, we can take a chance. We can gamble with eternity. We can barter it, as it's termed here. We can think that, yeah, I'm young. I'm going to have some fun. Because I can win in the long run, and I'm going to be around a long time. And there's always time for me to accept the gospel, to repent and change my ways. I'll do it, you know, when I get married, or when the kids get older, or whatever it might be. But we're gambling with ourselves. I'd like to switch over to the Book of Mormon, page 431. Starting with verse 229. You probably know where I'm going. 16th chapter of Alma. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech you that you do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, that's our purpose for being here, to prepare for eternity, not for the joys of this world and of this life. We're here to prepare ourselves for eternity. Behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, if we don't prepare, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. There becomes a time that the line is drawn, that we're too late. And that's what we're gambling with. That's what we're bartering with. You cannot say when you are brought to that awful crisis that I will repent. It's too late. That I will return to my God. Nay, you cannot say this, for that same spirit which does possess your bodies at the time that you go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Again, that voice that's telling you that you don't have to do it now, that you have time, that you can go out and have the fun and the joys and put the priorities in the wrong order, that you can get away with it. Who is it? It's not God. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you. Think about that. And hath no place you, and the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. And I'd like you to think about that in each of you, members or non-members, and where we're headed. The third verse. While the door of his mercy is open to you, ere the depth of his love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield? I have counted the cost. And that's my plea to you today, that you yield. That you yield to your Heavenly Father. That you put those things in perspective. And say, you know, now's the time. It's not important what you've done, where you've been. What's important is where you're going. And that you approach your Heavenly Father and submit yourself to Him and repent. Why? Because that's what we've been instructed to do. That's some of the truths that have been laid before us to stand on. I'd like to... Boy. Hope they're serving dinner instead of lunch today. I'm not going to read that scripture because I think it'll take too much time, but it's in Alma again in the 16th chapter. And I'd like you, I don't know if I can express this, but I'm going to try. I'd like each of you to think, pay close attention. I guess what I'd say is I'd like you to let go. You just might, you know, remove that hardness and that shell that we've allowed to go be built around us, and that protective barrier that we've grown to like, I guess. That we take it off. That we place ourselves before our Heavenly Father. And then we let that idea and that seed, that song, those truths work within our heart. And just try it. I'm challenging you. Forget about the world. Forget about the things that are in it. And let's talk about and think about where we're headed and what we're going to do. Let's let that seed grow and let's nourish it and help it and build on it. And that takes our act of seeking and hearkening to the words of God. That takes us stepping out in faith, helping others, being examples, preferring somebody over ourselves. That takes being laughed at sometimes, maybe. That takes being made fun of when you're out in your classroom or in the halls or in your jobs. That takes being ridiculed. But what I want you to think about is where you're going. I want you to forget about where you've been and the fact that, you know, I can tell you personally some of my experiences. What do we do with those? And if you're new to the gospel, just think about the words of God. And read the scriptures and pray about them. You know, Christ has set the example for us and has shown us all the things which we should do to have eternal life. They're there. But it takes the action on our part. You know, school's just started I never was much of a mathematician, but there's some basic, simple deduction type things, and I don't know if it's algebra or whatever it is. So I'm not. But, you know, like if A equals B and B equals C, then C has to equal what? Either A or B, right? Just simple deduction. You know, the scriptures are full of those simple things. You know, if you take a simple thing, I'm going to turn to that scripture and see if I can find it here. Page 83 of the Book of Mormon. Starting with verse 81, second book of Nephi here. For it must needs be that there is opposition in all things. If not so, my firstborn in the wilderness, righteousness could not be brought to pass, neither wickedness. Wickedness. If there weren't opposition, there wouldn't be wickedness and righteousness. Neither holiness nor misery, neither good nor bad. Wherefore, all things must needs be a compound in one. Wherefore, it should be one body, it must needs remain as dead, having no life, neither death nor corruption, nor incorruption, happiness nor misery, neither sense nor insensibility. Therefore, it must needs have been created for a thing of naught. I don't believe that. Wherefore, there would have been no purpose in the end of its creation. Wherefore, this thing must needs destroy the wisdom of God and his eternal purposes, and also the power and the mercy and the justice of God. And if you shall say there is no law, now there's no law out there, there's nothing I have to follow. Man, I'm going to do my own thing. If you shall say there is no law, you shall also say then that there is no sin. Make sense? No law, there can't be any sin, right? And if you shall say that there's no sin, that everything you can want to do is okay, then you can also say that there's no righteousness. Because there's got to be an opposition in all things. And if you shall say that there is no righteousness, then there is no happiness. And if there is no righteousness nor happiness, then there is no punishment nor misery. And if these things are not, there is no God. I don't think there's anybody in this room that believes that statement. And if there is no God, we are not. Neither the earth, for there could have been no creation of things, neither to act nor to be acted upon, wherefore all things must have vanished away. Now I'm going to ask you, who believes that we are? We are, right? We all believe that. We're here. We can't deny that. God created us. We can't deny that. We know that. That's one of the truths that we stand on daily. The sun is going to come up tomorrow morning. Why? Because God created it that way. And we can count on it. Now, if those things are true, there is a law. There is sin. There is happiness. There is misery. So it's like ABC. We have to do something with that knowledge. We have to do something with those truths. And you know, he goes on there and says that he's given us our own free will to act for ourselves. And if he hadn't done that, there would be no reward. There would be no joy. It wouldn't have fulfilled his eternal purposes for us. That we might come to him and submit ourselves to him. And be rewarded with eternal life. So each of us, you know, that's really pretty basic there. And he says, again in Alma, yea, even woe unto all ye workers of iniquity, repent, repent, for the Lord God has spoken it. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men. For the arms of mercy are extended towards them, and he saith, repent, and I will receive you. Yea, he saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life freely. Yea, come unto me, and bring forth works of righteousness, and you shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire. For behold, the time is at hand that whosoever bringeth forth not good fruit, or whosoever doeth not the works of righteousness, the same shall have cause to wail and mourn. And he's sending that invitation to come unto him, to each and every one of us. And I hope, no matter what age we are, no matter how long we've been here, that we stand on the truth. That we do something with those. Because we have to be careful how we hear. Galatians 5th chapter, I'm only going to read one verse out of there. I haven't found it. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Or stand fast in the truths that we're talking about. And I just like to name some of them for our remembrance. You know, it's a truth that there is a God, and He created all things. It's a truth that He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and He doesn't ever vary. And we can stand on that promise. That's a truth. It's a truth that man fell from the presence of God. It's a truth that He sent His only begotten Son. That He could give His life for us. That we might be redeemed from that fall. That if we followed after Him and did the things that He commanded us to do, that we could have that everlasting life and be redeemed. That's a truth. That He broke the bands of death. It's a truth that there is a law. That there's requirements for us. It's a truth that we need to humble ourselves and approach Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It's a truth that we must seek Him. That we must repent. That we must forsake our worldish ways. It's a truth that we must go down into the waters of baptism. It's a truth that when Christ was on this continent and on this world in flesh, that He set in place His church and its organization. It's a truth that shortly after He was resurrected, that there became false prophets and an apostasy began. It's a truth that that church went into apostasy for 1260 years. And it was brought back approximately 1830. It's a truth that the scriptures foretold of that happening way before it happened and gave the time and the place. That would be shortly before the latter-day rains return to Lebanon. And it's a truth that that happened in approximately 1850, a short time after the church was restored. It's a truth that with the restoration of that church came the authority of the priesthood. It's a truth that the Lord, our Savior, when He was here on this earth, ordained men to have that authority to baptize, to lay on hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost, to minister, to heal the sick and afflicted. They're truths that each and every one of us count on daily. And we have a responsibility with knowing those truths, with taking action, with submitting ourselves. Yeah. We know those things, but what are we doing with them? And I hope and pray this day that you'll think about that. That you'll stand on those truths. That you'll take action in your life, no matter what age you are. That you'll shed yourself of the barriers that we build up. And put on, in place of it, the armor of Christ. That we might be good examples. That we might be able to endure. That we might better our place in this life, this time of probation that we have. That Spirit might not leave us. That we might have the wherewithal not to draw that line that we can't go back from. That we might constantly keep ourselves in tune with our Heavenly Father. I had some more scriptures there, but I see the time is running out. And I hope and pray Bob. I think that's it. Thank you. I hope and pray that we don't let the time run out of our lives. That we make that commitment. That we begin that study. That we begin that experiment that is spoken. That's one of the scriptures I didn't read. But we let that Word of God work in our lives and in our hearts. You know, that we nourish it and bring it forth to bloom. That we take advantage of the time that we have. And I hope and pray that we don't procrastinate, for now's the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Bess. Ron? While the collections being made are taken, you know, he worried me a little bit there when he took off his jacket. I thought he's going to have to fight to get out of here. But now, of course, I'm glad to see that he was fighting for all of our soul salvation. This evening, service will be preaching this evening at 6:30 p.m. And I'll ask for your prayers because I'm to be the speaker tonight at 6:30, the preacher at 6:30 this evening. Next Sunday morning, Eugene Gould will be the speaker.